Welcome into this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast. I am Chris Kale. This is the one, the only Nick McWilliams, or Nick Mick, like we like to call him.
Because they can't get my name right most of the time.
Right, pretty much. Of course, your weekly podcast brought to you by Hartzler's Quality Housing and DAC Vitamins and Minerals. Week number 8 of the high school football season in the books. Nick McWilliams, where has this season gone?
Quickly. That's not even where. That's just how
right,
it's gone.
Just, right. Where it's, I didn't say how. I said where has it gone.
That's
quickly.
That's the only word. Right, that's the only word I could think of how to describe it. But
we can go ahead and add that to the blooper rule.
Yes, you can. It's I don't know where it's gone, truthfully. I mean, I knew coming in here that I was expecting this to be, I mean, the first time doing this, I was expecting it to be kind of long, you know, drawn out. It's like, all right, yeah. You're going to have to kind of push through. No, we're almost at the end of the regular season already, and I don't feel like I've even gotten my feet entirely wet yet, so.
Right, it's totally not that way. It totally ends up, now, I will admit that I am looking forward to seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and things slowing down a little bit here in another 2 or 3 weeks, but you know, nonetheless, playoff football is always great around here. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs and see what happens, see who makes it. Obviously, two teams have clinched, both IVC top-tiered teams, which is Ridgewood, Indian Valley. Those are the only two teams that have clinched. New Philadelphia currently sits first overall in the state of Ohio in Division III. They're basically in, and we have some others that are battling to get in. One that confuses me is Sandy Valley. Is there a chance that Sandy Valley goes 9-1 and misses the playoffs?
There is. There is a good chance for that, considering how the computer rankings work, you know, where you get your second-tier points from, where all the different things that factor into this that can determine whether or not you make it. And it's just crazy to me that they lose to a team that is now clinched into the playoffs, and we know how good Indian Valley is. I'm sure there's some Garaways coming up for them, which could be a potential big game, correct? No, not Garaway. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of a different team.
Sandy Valley, I believe, has... Who do they have this week?
I have it written down somewhere, but I tell you what, there is a definite possibility that they don't make it, which is kind of unfortunate because we've talked so much.
Sandy Valley has Buckeye Trail, which is a game that they need to win,
and then they've got Malvern,
which is their rival game. So, and that's not going to get them a ton of points.
No, but
so they must win. I think this is a must win against a Buckeye Trail team with them sitting 10th in the region.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a good time to have that message of just go out and play, don't worry about it. I mean, what's done is done, and now you just look ahead and continue to try to improve and continue to just keep getting W's. But that's really unfortunate, though, that if you're looking down the barrel of a 9-1 season and potentially not making it into the postseason, it's just ridiculous. And that's why sometimes I'm not much of a fan of the computer rankings.
I agree with you 100%. It was just like Garaway last year. Their two losses were both to playoff teams. They were 8-2 and missed.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this is one of those instances where I hope that doesn't happen. I hope they don't finish 9-1 and miss out.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's just...
It's a wait and see game. It's a wait and see game now. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, speaking of Sandy Valley, we'll start with them. They pounded East Canton 41-6. Cam Blair, another great game, 229 total yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick. Demetrius Evans, 4 catches, 83 yards, 3 of those Cam Blair touchdowns. Brady Russell, Mason Tucci had touchdowns. And Brendan Obradovich had a receiving touchdown as well. Again, Sandy Valley, Buckeye Trail. This Friday night, number 10 in Division 5, Region 17 is Sandy Valley. Must win.
Yeah, it is a must win, but I tell you what, this is one of the most impressive performances that I think Sandy Valley has put together. I mean, we talked a lot about East Canton's star player, Nathan Sundheimer. 84 total yards on 30 touches. That is not what you normally see out of him.
No, that is not.
And not only that, they limited the Hornets to 3 yards per play and turned them over 3 times. I mean, it was a dominant defensive performance. And, they're definitely going to need it, though, from here on out with Buckeye Trail, because we've seen recently what Buckeye Trail has done to opponents. Mm-hmm. and even against Malvern as well. But Sandy Valley is set up very well now to hopefully finish out the season strong and continue this winning streak. But you can't get too distracted by the fact that you are sitting there in 10th, like you mentioned.
Yeah, it's just a frustrating deal. Carrollton, they lost to Alliance 21-12. Austin Coletti, 9-for-17, 164 yards. Had three interceptions, 22 carries, 89 yards, and two touchdowns on the ground. Brandon Brown, three catches, 87 yards. He had four tackles on defense and a pick. They host Canton South this week. What can you say about Carrollton? I know, you know, I feel bad for the kids. I feel bad for Coach Salimos, who I'm sure, you know, none of these guys thought that they were going to end up starting out 0-8 offensively. They start to get things rolling, and then they turn it over. You know, it's just one of those frustrating things when the offense is rolling. The defense has given up a lot of yards and touchdowns, and when the defense seems like they're doing well, the offense turns it over and puts the defense in bad spots. It's just a recipe for disaster, unfortunately, for the Warriors. I'm sure they're looking forward to getting this season over with and looking ahead to 2020.
Well, I'm sure they are, but that you hit the nail on the head there. That was what I was going to mention, is that it seems like Carrollton just hasn't been able to put everything together at once. I mean, we've talked about the nights where Austin Coletti is really on fire and does about everything for the offense. Well, then it's the defense's problem in terms of limiting what's across from them. Friday night was a little bit of the opposite. Really, even with Coletti, he had over, I think, 250 yards of total offense himself, but three interceptions. The defense gave up scores when they couldn't. There were untimely penalties and just issues that continue to plague the Warriors. You know, looking at the rest of the year, though, 2-6 Canton South up next, 1-7 Minerva after that. There's chances to win games here, but I don't know. Going 0-8, it's going to be very hard for these guys from here on out to come out with a lot of firepower and come out with a lot of heart. But I hope they do that, because I don't think there's been a single game this year where they've just seemed to throw in the towel.
No.
They always seem to be fighting.
Right. And I didn't mean, you know, looking forward to 2020. I just meant, you know, that I didn't mean that they were going to lay down their last two weeks. But, you know, the bottom line is, I think overall they're looking forward to 2020. But the last 2 weeks of the season, I agree with you. Canton South Minerva definitely chances to win two football games there. Hopefully they can muster up enough effort and enough willpower and heart to go out and play the way that they should and pick up the first win of the year.
For sure.
By the way, I just want to give you a quick shout out. Bye, Shauna. I just want to give you a quick shout out that you do a great job on these Saturday morning write-ups. I know that we got that sponsored this year, and you took that over, and I think it's outstanding what you do. It's one of those things where it used to be you used to wake up and go grab the newspaper and you could read all the games. And you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But you offer that, our listeners and our followers, that ability to go onto Big Z Sports or go to WTUZ.com and read a little caption about each game. And I think that is so cool. So thank you for doing that. And I think you do a great job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, this is, for those of you who don't know, this is kind of my bread and butter of what I did. I mean, that's what I mostly did, was writing. I go back through and I get annoyed at myself sometimes when I see, like, oh, that's a typo, I got to fix that. But those late nights after doing the sports show kind of lead to that. But no, I appreciate hearing that, and I hope that you guys enjoy reading it. I hope that it kind of can connect you a little bit more if you unfortunately missed out on the game, or for whatever reason, if you want to go back and do a recap of it. I know we've added a couple that we weren't doing earlier in the year, and maybe down the road it expand. Maybe we have to back it up. Who knows? But right. I think it's gone all right so far through 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's a great sponsorship opportunity for somebody in the future, too. I know it's sponsored now, but we have a great sponsorship opportunity for somebody in the future, rather the sponsor wants to continue or not.
Yeah, no, for sure. Go ahead. Do it. I promise I'll make it worth your while.
There you go. All right, let's move into another game. Malvern, they outlasted Strasburg 33-26. Tayshawn Curtis, a nice game, 6-12, 90 yards and a touchdown. Also had 37 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Zach Cheney, 22 carries, 105 yards and a touchdown. Strasburg, you know, they hung around back and forth game against Malvern. Malvern just ended up getting the scores that they needed at the end. Strasburg, they host East Canton this week. Doesn't get any easier for the Tigers.
No, not at all. I mean, Malvern, you really have to look at this game as, I don't want to say that there was only one player driving this team because football is a team game, but Dirk Hutchinson was pretty much everything for Malvern. 349 total yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, by himself, he actually outgained the Tigers by about 50 yards or so. Yeah. Strasburg did find some success they'd been missing on the offensive side of the ball for weeks, which was a great sign for them to
and especially Tayshawn Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing the ball and rushing the football, he was able to get that. So maybe that's something that they look forward to doing, you know, in future weeks.
Oh, for sure. I mean, 3 total touchdowns for Tayshawn, and that was good because he had a few weeks where he struggled. Mm-hmm. Strasburg, just as a team, had struggled a lot, but this was a building block. I know they would have loved to get back in the win column, but after a couple weeks in a row where you had really almost no offense and your defense seemed to give up points almost every drive, this is kind of what you needed to get back into the swing of things, and we'll see how they end up building upon this and continuing. And you know, something else I wanted to note that Lucas Lindsay was there. He had 56 yards on 13 carries. Not a great night for him by any means, but how about Zach Chaney though for the Tigers? 105 yards and a touchdown on 22 carries. They made him the bell cow on Friday night,
and it was nice because Chaney been dinged up a little bit off and on this year. That's why Lucas Lindsay got his opportunity early in the season. So yeah, good to see Zach doing good things for the Tigers. Canton Valley, they get a game-winning field goal from foreign exchange student Hugo Alonso Cezano, and he was Rachel's Hats Off Award winner. They take the 22-19 win over Bealsville. Braden Caldwell, 12 carries, 70 yards, 9 completions for 86 yards and a touchdown. They host Clay Battelle out of West Virginia this week. What a memory for a foreign exchange student to take back to his home country. And he'll have a beanie to go along with that. And, you know, just a great thing. Thank you, Jay Caldwell, for sending us updates. Again, just like Buckeye Trail, right? Canton Valley was one of those schools that we're more than happy to cover. Mm-hmm. We did not get a sponsor for their game breakdown this year, so we just kind of didn't figure them in. But we were more than happy to talk about them, but we need those stats and information and score updates. In the past, we've struggled a lot with Canton Valley to try and get score updates and stats and those sort of things. So again, a huge thank you to Jay Caldwell for reaching out to us and giving us that stuff. Makes it so much easier to report on them, and we've probably reported on them more than we have at any point in time in the last 5 years, just in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the Rockets deserve that recognition.
Absolutely.
All area teams deserve the recognition, naturally. I know that there are some great things going on out in Canton Valley, as we've mentioned many times, that brand new complex that's going up and the reinvestment into the district that's going on, and that's a fantastic thing. And I really appreciate watching highlights of Canton Valley because there's a lot of determination in these players. It's something that you had mentioned, quarterback Braden Caldwell for his offensive game, but he and actually running back Ben Mogg each got interceptions on defense. And I think that's kind of be something that Canton Valley has used to their advantage this year, and they will use to the rest of the year, is they don't have the most high-powered offense. They don't have the hardest-hitting defense. Right. They don't have any of that stuff.
They don't have a lot of the numbers either.
No, but they are gritty, and the guys who are there, it's exactly what I think of every time I see them play, and that's why I really love going through and looking at what the Rockets did in their in the weeks prior, and this was a big win over Bealsville. Now that I think that sets them up at, I'm going to get the records wrong, 3-5 now, I believe.
Yes, I believe either 3-5 or they're 4-4. I don't think they're 4-4.
No, 3-5.
I think they're 3-5.
It'd be 3-5 and 2 games now against West Virginia squads to round out the year.
Right. And my whole point is with them is I agree with you 100%. That's a blue collar Bowerston. They are. You go back to.
And we're saying that as a compliment. Don't
absolutely. It's a compliment. That is a blue collar school out there that loves to get nasty when they need to. You go back to the Brandon Bailey, the Rooster Bailey days, and you can even go back to the Heath Drescher days, and guys like that that were just, man, there's some really good football players that have came out of Canaan Valley, and you know that tradition and stuff lives out there through those Rockets that are playing now. And it looks like with these new complexes and everything that they're getting, man, why wouldn't you want to go out there if you lived in Bowerston and you went to Canaan Valley High School? Why wouldn't you want to get involved with this program in the sports programs across the board for the facilities that they have? Because they're probably going to have some of the best facilities that we're going to have, you're going to be able to find anywhere around here. So it's definitely something to get involved with, and looking forward to good things out of Canaan Valley. Again, we just need somebody to hop on and sponsor their game breakdown next year, and also send us those stats and updates like Jay Caldwell's doing this year, and we'd be more than happy to continue to cover Canaan Valley for you guys.
And speaking of which, with the facilities and stuff that I had mentioned, now you had just mentioned, if you haven't had a chance to go out there and see anything yet, coming up this Friday is going to be your last chance for this season, actually. They take on Clay Battelle, I believe it's Battelle, out of West Virginia. That'll be their last home game this year, and then they will actually be traveling down to Weirton-Madonna to play in West Virginia. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't know what's going on with Canaan Valley and the good things that are going on, head on over to Bowerston this Friday night.
Yep. And like I said, they've got one of the best in the business is a facilities manager in Bill Love. So, you know, definitely good things happening out there in Bowerston. All right. TCC, man, they got drilled by Buckeye Trail 52-7. Trail outgained TCC 437-136. Alex Price, just not a good game. 8-for-24, only 90 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Franco Rome had 13 carries, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Warriors. Trail, obviously, they host Sandy Valley this week in a huge matchup for both of their playoff hopes. And TCC, they host Malvern.
Yeah, I tell you what, something that I found interesting in this game is we know throughout the year that TCC has had some problems defending the run. We've made note of that many times. And the Warriors, they are a run-oriented team, but they only threw one pass all game.
Yep, and
all the rest of it was just hammering the ball, 410 yards on the ground. And that's just exactly what you expect from a team that, well, hey, we know that we are good in this area, and they're not so good at defending that.
And
here we go.
And Coach Cummings would say the same thing. We knew who they were coming in. We knew what they were going to do, and we couldn't stop it.
Dennis Green has gotten a lot of quote time with
us. Yeah, yeah. Denny Green, great guy. Rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah, and you know, TCC, I think that's kind of what happens when you you live and die by the pass. We know that that's what the Saints do, and sometimes it works great. Other times you have something like this. So nothing wrong with what Coach Casey Cummings is doing out there.
No.
He actually really, after their before their win that they had in the week prior, you know, he really put a lot of responsibility or emphasis on the fact of, like, how bad do you guys want this? So, right. And they end up getting a big win last week, and then this one, not so great. So I'm sure this will be something that he comes back to again and says, like, well, why did we have this drop off? Why did we have this letdown going into week two? But the one thing they can kind of hang their hat on, you don't want to make excuses for why you lost, but this is a 6-2 Buckeye Trail team.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
It's a tough Buckeye Trail
team. Yeah, it's a good football team. There's no doubt about that. The bottom line is this really, really cripples TCC's playoff chances. Mm-hmm. Probably done at this point. Although we kind of stuck a fork in Dover, and they've crawled out of the mud. And speaking of
back
the tornadoes, they kind of shocked Zanesville 35-21. You know, the dinged up Dover Tornadoes outgained the Blue Devils 395-282. Aiden Hall, 19-31, 250 yards, a touchdown. He did throw 2 picks. Keaton Hall, 22 carries, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a TD catch. Impressive game by Keaton Hall. Nolan Little sealed the deal with a 48-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Dover moves up to the 8th spot in Division 3, Region 9. They host Marietta this week. Obviously, must-win-out situation. If the playoffs started today, New Philadelphia would host Dover. in round number one.
But thankfully they don't, because then we still get to look forward for the regular season Dover-Philly rivalry, naturally. Something I did want to note is that we kind of were writing off Dover a bit. I think other people were as well. But you saw on full display what this season has meant for the Tornadoes in terms of they are not giving up, because as we heard, there were multiple players getting dinged up, kind of banged up in this game, and they fought through it and they came back. Both Aiden Hall and Nathan Ravine were dinged up in this game.
And Cade Rusiger came in at quarterback, did a nice job, also played receiver. You know, their offensive line was dinged up before they even got started. So
And obviously, what really helped Dover, too, was not just the big win over Zanesville, but it was also Worcester picking up a surprise win over Madison Senior, which gave him some major points. But looking ahead for Dover, I mean, I think we mentioned beforehand, or no, you had mentioned before we went on, it's Marietta and New Philly left.
Yep.
Marietta is not going to be an easy game by any means, although New Philadelphia made pretty easy work of Marietta, so we'll see what Dover handles, how Marietta reacts after that game. But then that last game in Week 10, when you're stuck in an all, no matter what, you have to win scenario, Dover has no choice but to win these next two games. Philly, on the other hand, they haven't secured yet, but there are plenty of scenarios where they make it no matter what at this point.
Right.
So who's going to want it more? Is Philly going to want it more for those bragging rights, or is Dover going to want it more for those that playoff positioning?
I don't think, in my opinion, being a part of this rivalry for 40 years now or whatever it's been, I don't think that there's any needed motivation
for
either side to win the football game. Like we have said before, on paper, New Philadelphia should probably win this football game. We have said in years past that Dover should win this football game or New Philadelphia should win this football game, and it has been a total opposite that happens. Who knows what's going to happen in Week 10? You cannot put your finger on this rivalry, the third oldest rivalry in the state of Ohio. You know, it's the third oldest, second longest, it's nasty, man, and you just never know. It's a week that I never forget. I wish they would bring back the snake dance and all that stuff that used to go through Dover. You don't know nothing about no snake dance, but
I've heard stories, actually.
Man, I'm telling you what, that was some of the funnest times I've had in my life, you know, just during that week and all the shenanigans that went on. And, you know, we probably did some things we shouldn't have, but, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes it's kids being kids, but... just a great week. I mean, it's a great week. Both schools get to dress up and do different things, and we'll talk more about that in Week 10.
Of course, and believe me, I know what this rivalry means to these two communities. I'm just trying to paint the picture a little bit here of thinking of Philly's got the incentive of, great, we keep Dover out of the playoffs. Awesome. And Dover's got the incentive of, well, guess what? If we make it into the playoffs, all we have to do is meet the team that we hate the most across the river from us.
And it probably would cost them a home game, too.
It would. It could.
It could. But then there is another scenario that if Dover wins that game and New Philadelphia drops down a little bit, there's a scenario to where Philly could still host Dover in the playoffs. So
that
scenario is still alive for them to meet in round one of the playoffs. We'll see what happens. It's always interesting. It's happened before. We'll just have to wait and see.
Stay tuned, Tornado and Quaker fans. It's going to be fun.
Quaker fans went down to Marietta, and it didn't take very long for them to realize that they were going to get a victory. Most people probably went across the street to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Maybe they went across the river, went down to Cheddar's over there in Vienna, West Virginia. Could have done that. It just wasn't much of a football game after the first quarter. The Quakers led 21-0. Gent Joseph, 7 catches, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a 58-yard punt return. His second week in a row he's done that. Baron May, 13-21, 212 and 3 touches. Reese Meekin had 102 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. The number one team in Division 3, that's the entire state, and also Region 9, hosts Zanesville this week after winning 49-14.
I think you might get a very good feeling of what Dover and Philly will both bring respectively into Week 10, given of what happens on this game coming up with Philly. Because Zanesville's not going to be a rollover for Philly. But granted, we did kind of also think that Zanesville, at least I did, I thought Zanesville could actually come out on top on Dover. And,
I mean, that was my pick.
Right. And
I picked Zanesville.
And things were very close there at the end, but then they capitalized and forced a fumble and returned it back.
Yeah, because Zanesville was driving for the game-tying touchdown.
Yep. So, but I think that I learned a lot about Dover on last Friday, considering the determination of the team. You know, in some ways, I thought with them getting that third loss and knowing that playoffs were going to be very hard and that this season wasn't going the way that they thought, I didn't think they'd roll over, but I honestly did not know what their reaction would be to it. And I think now they're a team that is angry, they're a team that is hungry, and they're a team that is going to do everything in their power to win out the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to Philly and Marietta, I just wanted to make that point real quick.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, Baron May had a great game. Gent Joseph, Sam Zemus, Reese Meekin. It was just across the board, just one of those performances, once again, that they've had throughout this season of just everybody getting involved and everybody putting on a show. And that's what's the scariest thing about New Philadelphia. I mean, we know how good Baron May is, and we talked about that throughout the season of how he was going to react after a poor season last year. And somehow it's not just Baron May. It's this entire doggone team. And that's what, and it's probably helped him immensely with that. But the fact that you have all of those players rolling now, that tells you why New Philadelphia is ranked where they are.
And you're still missing your starting tailback, right?
Yeah.
So with John Schiretti was scheduled to be back last week, Coach Matt Dennison told us on the postgame show that, you know, yeah, they decided to hold him out because they were pretty confident in what they were doing going down to Marietta. Is he healthy enough to come back now, or do they rest him another week and then come out with a 1-2 punch against New Philadelphia or against Dover? I mean, this team is scary. And here's the thing. What are we all going to do sitting here in week 10 if New Philadelphia beats Dover 45-14?
Yeah, then if that's what happens, I mean,
because I think we'll all be standing here doing this.
Yeah, I knew coming in here, like from when you guys were talking about Philly this year before the season even began, all the talk was surrounded around that disappointing season from last year. All the talk was surrounded about not meeting expectations and players not playing up to the full potential that they had. And I think this year, you've seen that 180. You've seen what this team last year, what a lot of people thought it would be, what it is now.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think there's any scenario where New Philadelphia gets even better than they already are, because there's a reason that they are ranked number one in the state.
Absolutely.
But it's possible still, because if they reel off two more wins like they've had recently against Zanesville and Dover, holy cow, who in the world's beating this team?
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those scenarios too. I saw a thing on Facebook. There was a comment on our Facebook page of, man, I hope Dover beats Philly because I'm tired of hearing about Philly. And then somebody else said, well, I'm tired of hearing about Indian Valley. And I said, did you see my comment?
I don't think I did, actually.
I said, well, you should be tired of hearing about all 13 or 14 area teams. and now you can include Buckeye Trail with 15, because we talk about all 15 of them. We talk about all 15 in the podcast. We talk about all 15 on the weekly show. We bring different schools in every Wednesday. We're at different games doing play-by-play. We will be continuing that throughout the rest of the season and playoffs. We talk about them on here at nauseam in the post-game show. I mean, so you can't say we're favoring one team. We don't do that here.
No,
we don't favor one or two teams. We cover them all. So you should be sick of hearing about all of them. But why do we talk about New Philadelphia? Why do we talk about Indian Valley? Why do we talk about Ridgewood more than probably the other teams? Because they're the best teams in our area right now.
Yeah,
and until somebody knocks them off, it is what it is. I mean, that's why we talk about them. New Philadelphia is the number one team in the state in Division III, and you're telling me we shouldn't talk about them? I mean, that's a head-scratcher to me. I mean, that's like saying, you know, Ohio State's third in the country, but we're not going to talk about it. I'm tired of hearing about Ohio State. Okay.
In a way,
whatever. Whatever.
We'll gloss over that and keep moving forward.
Right. We'll move forward.
But absolutely, though, that makes it the easiest, is whenever teams are winning, they're going to get a little more of the limelight.
Exactly.
So we're not trying to lean towards one team or another, and we try to do the due diligence with all of them. And we want nothing more than every single one of these teams in the area to be undefeated right now. We'd love all of them to go 8-0.
But it's impossible.
No.
Right, it's impossible. No. So moving on, Indian Valley, they took care of Garaway 42-13. A little bit of a little bit of a surprise game, I think, for me. I did not expect Indian Valley to outgain Garraway 452-243. Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance Good Hands Player of the Week. Senior tailback Zach Love, 15 carries, 243 yards, 4 TDs. He had 2 2-point conversions, and he had a pick on defense. And you wonder why he was the player of the week. Sophomore wide receiver Trevor Myers had 2 of his brother's 3 completions. Those two completions went for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. Garrett Newsom, 13-21, 139 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions, 25 carries, only 53 yards and a touchdown for the video game. Garraway still number 6 in Division 5, Region 17. Very interesting game they have this week at New Cumberstown. In Indian Valley, number 1, Division 4, Region 15, they are a team that has clinched. They're at Tuskegee Valley. It'll be interesting to see, does head coach Matt Lancaster rest some people? Does he sit Zach Love down because Zach's been dinged up this year? Does Shane Thornton get the bulk of the carries? Does Cole Lancaster get the bulk of the carries? I mean, what happens here? We'll have to wait and see. That's not like Coach Lank. I'm just asking the question because we're the media and we have to.
For any of you watching on Facebook Live, you will have seen me shake my head no. For all of you listening to the audio version here later, and I'm shaking my head no, you might be able to hear some stuff rattle around in there.
Right.
I don't see Coach Lancaster doing that just because I don't think at all that's something that he would ever do. Yeah, you worry about that down the road. You don't want anybody getting hurt. But, you know, players are there to play, and that's what these guys want to do. I know they want to play week in and week out. Yeah, you might be a little concerned. And also, when you look at their upcoming schedule, you say, well, Tuskegee Valley and Claymont, neither of them have had good seasons by any means to this point. Those should be easy games. You can't really just back up and say those will be easy games no matter what.
No.
Especially with that last game at Kelly Field going up against Claymont, a Claymont team that I'm sure is very angry considering how their season has gone to this point. I highly doubt that anyone sits for this. And
yeah, I'm not saying maybe the rivalry game, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Maybe if you get a lead late in the game, then you sit, guys. But you still have to, you're still trying to get a home playoff game, right?
You are.
You lose 2 games, you're probably not going to have a home playoff game anymore, even though you clinched the playoff berth. So, yeah, I get your point.
And going on to with Garraway, as we had mentioned, you know, this is 2 successive weeks now that we've seen the Pirates struggle. We've seen Garrett Newsom struggle. We've seen just the team have a lot of hard times. I think this is more of a testament, again, to Ridgewood's skill and Indian Valley's skill, because Ridgewood beat both of those teams, clearly. Indian Valley's game was closer, arguably, just with the stat line and just from how the game progressed. That it was that much closer, I think that tells you how good Ridgewood is, that tells you how good Indian Valley is, and that tells you how good Garraway is. All of them skilled in their own rights, all of them very good teams no matter what, but the Pirates, I think, have just run into 2 teams that are, I don't want to say superior, but I might have just been able to find a way a little bit better than they did. So we'll see what happens now with these last 2 weeks, especially with that newcomers town game. What?
So those of you on Facebook Live can see what I'm holding up.
Okay.
I'm holding up a bottle of water.
Okay.
Okay. So what you're saying is you're dousing those flames that you fueled last week. Is that what you're saying?
Gosh, we got it.
Is that what you just did there?
Moving on from
did
that.
You go?
No, I said
number 2 in black and orange will know what I'm talking about.
To be fair, I did say, if you weren't listening, well, you were here Friday. You should.
I was here. Bow!
What I said is, I think maybe there was someone out there wanted to prove a little bit of something about a statement that I made that I don't think was a bad statement by any means. It wasn't meant to hurt anybody's feelings.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I tell you what, I was proven wrong. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, we'll move on from that. We'll just move on from that. Again, Garraway takes on New Cumberstown. Intriguing game,
yes,
to me. And Indian Valley travels to Tuskegee Valley. Speaking of the Trojans, New Cumberstown took care of Claymont 55-28. Excuse me. This is the most points the New Cumberstown has scored since 2012.
Wow.
And has its first 500 season or above since 2014. So pretty impressive. I think they put up 62 on Conotton Valley in 2012. That's what. That's what the score was. Wyatt Connor, of course, was Nick's Hats Off Award winner. 20 carries, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns. I did say 316 yards, right?
You did.
316 yards. The only reason why you didn't get the player of the week is because, of course, Zach Love had 2 2-point conversions and an interception on defense to go along with his stats.
Pretty spread around pretty well.
But I mean, my goodness.
Wyatt Connor.
316.
We've said so many times this season about his skill level and his ability, and what's shocking to me is because Wyatt is a—is he a senior now?
Yeah, I believe he's a senior.
Wyatt's a senior, and I'm just thinking, man, alive was I, maybe he was just saving it up these last few years because what he has put forth, his body of work this year is just absurd. Yeah, he's had a few games where things haven't gone perfectly.
He was dinged up a lot last year.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, and that. And
he got dinged up, and I think he only played in about 3 games last year. You know, he got dinged up real early on, and that's something that head coach Dirk Gadd alluded to when we were down there for the two-a-days. Said, you know, he was almost happy that they took a little bit of an easier road at the beginning of the season. Not kind of intentionally, because they came out that first game and played Barnesville the last few years, and he said Barnesville is such a physical team, our kids were literally beat down going into week number 2, and he said in a smaller numbered team it kills us. And Wyatt Connor was beat up all year after that first game.
Speaking of Barnesville, if you want to know how tough and physical that team is, we talk about Buckeye Trail so much with their physicality. Barnesville handed Buckeye Trail one of their only losses this year.
That's
so that's
the only loss. They're 6-1.
No, they're 6-2.
Oh, they're 6-2. That's yes. Right. You're right. Yes. You're right. My bad. But still, I mean, yeah, Barnesville is a nasty, nasty team, and they will get, you know, they will get physical with you in a hurry. So, yeah, that's why Newcomerstown did what they did. Trenton Newkirk, Ryan Miller, Gavin Little, all rushing touchdowns. They outgained Claymont 566 to 331. So Wyatt Connor almost outgained Claymont on his own. Caden Persetti, a good game, 20 of 37, 268 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 2 rushing touchdowns. Michael Lasecki, 9 catches, 119 yards, and a touchdown. The problem wasn't the offense. It was the defense just not tackling and getting guys on the ground. And when you give up 566, there's your answer.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I noticed from our stringer out at Newcomerstown Claymont, which was Troy Beckley out there, had a Facebook video up of Wyatt Connor breaking for, was it 85 yards, I think? And that was just, and it kind of summarized the game. You know, Claymont had him contained for a minute. I think he got like 6 or 7 yards on the carry, and they collapsed on the ball, but they couldn't wrap up. And then he busted out and just streaked down the sideline or down one of the hash marks. And yeah, that's just kind of a summary, I think, so far of what's happened with Claymont. I'm not sure what's going on there defensively in terms of tackling, in terms of getting to the ball. But offense, we've seen growth. Offense, we've seen progress.
Yes.
Defense, not so much there.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and probably tick some people off, but that's kind of my job, so it is what it is.
Great.
I don't know if you got to see the debate. I stayed out of it. I wanted to say something, but I stayed out of it. There was a debate on Facebook yesterday about Claymont's coaching staff and this, that, and the other. And I don't know if you saw that, but it's on there. And here's what I will have to say about that. For the people that are trying to put down Coach Eric Henry and his staff, you can do what you want. Is there questionable play calling sometimes? Sure, probably every coach in the country, whether it's high school, college, or NFL, has questionable play calls sometimes, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But the bottom line is the kids have to go onto the field and play the game. Mm-hmm. The coaches cannot play the game for them. So in order for a team to be able to win football games, you have to be able to block. You have to be able to run, you have to be able to throw, and you have to be able to tackle. Sometimes
it doesn't all come together.
It doesn't all come together. Mm-hmm. That is not the coach's fault when guys miss tackles and a guy runs up the sideline for 85 yards. How is that coaching? They had him stop for 8 yards, and they didn't wrap him up. That's not Eric Henry's fault. That's not the defensive coordinator's fault. That's just the fact of the matter. So I'm going on the record in support of Eric Henry because I know some people inside the program who have been in this program from back in his dad's days in the 90s, you know, that the culture is changing there. It just is going to take some time. It doesn't mean that we shove him out after a year. They've already done that, right? They did it to Tom Lasecki. They did it to...
I can't even remember.
Anyway, the problem is the guy that was there last year. His name, I'm upset and I lost the track of his mind. But anyway, Tom Lasecki's back under Eric Henry's staff. But the bottom line is, we've showed it in sports multiple times. When you have changeover in coaching nonstop, it does not work.
A la Cleveland Browns.
Well, but it's not just, and not just
you're
in
talking,
the NFL.
No, you're talking period, right? Whether it's high school, college, or football.
So answer me this.
NFL.
Okay. So answer me this. Arguably, over the last 15 years in our area, who are the best four teams in our area?
Over the last,
arguably.
How many years?
Over the last 15 years.
Probably Philly, Dover, Indian Valley for at least half of that, and Garaway or Ridgewood.
I'd say Garaway and Ridgewood.
Yeah.
So we'll say five.
Mm-hmm.
John Slusser, been there 15 years. Jason Wallach, been there 17 years. Dan If, been there 25 years.
Dennison, 17.
Matt Dennison, 17 years. Right?
Lank's been there a while.
Matt Lancaster, 12, 13 years. Let me think about this. Did I just prove a point?
Well,
you
yeah.
have to have consistency in the system, right? You have to let guys put their stuff in place and allow the chance to build this program. So I'm imploring Claymont fans right now, get off your coaches' back. Get off the staff's back. Worry about going and cheering for your kids in the kids that you're watching play for the Mustangs. Go and support them. The last two games, win or lose, go and support them. Leave the coaching staff alone. That's not the issue, okay? The kids play the game. The coaches don't play the game. So you guys need to be parents and be a parent. Don't be a coach from the stands because I've been there, done that. I deal with it in soccer. We've got a parent that likes to decide that he's going to coach from the stands, and it is the most annoying and disruptive thing that you can imagine. I mean, I'm talking during timeouts, yelling at the goaltender to come over and talk to him in the stands so that he can coach. I mean, it's absurd. So I'm asking you guys to please don't do that. It's not always the staff's fault. Let Eric Henry and his staff put the time together to build this program like all the other great programs in our area, and Claymont will return to prominence. I promise you, you just got to give it time and be patient.
Well, and the other, just completely off of the side note.
I just totally went on a rant. No, that's fine.
But that's a moment that, if I were a coach, that doesn't necessarily concern me. I mean, yeah, you are 8 weeks into the season now, and you have a moment where your guys don't wrap up on a tackle and allow a huge touchdown. Yeah, that's infuriating, but guess what? That's something that over time and just work and repetition, whether it's, you're probably not going to solve it this season considering the season's almost over, but come back next year, start working on that immediately.
But let's
start
be honest
working
though.
On, what?
Who do you blame for that happening?
A missed tackle? Or multiple missed tackles? No, I understand.
Who do you blame?
I understand.
Just answer the question.
You know who I blame, but I
okay.
you understand my...
Why can't you just say it?
Because I feel bad. Anyway.
But you can't.
No, I know.
Because it's life, right?
Yeah.
And that's all about the life lessons that coaches will teach you. Mm-hmm. If you miss a tackle, you man up to it and
you
say, hey, guess what? I screwed up. I didn't wrap up. I'll get him next time.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn from your mistakes. What happens in life? You go and you screw up at your job and you cross wires and you blow a fuse and whatever.
Or you,
hey, guess what?
Or you hit two buttons at once if you're this guy on the afternoon
right.
show.
Or you hit two buttons at once. Exactly. I mean, whatever the case may be, you say, hey, guess what? I screwed up. I'll learn from it and I'll get better from it. That's what sports teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to say, hey, that two or three young men from Claymont that missed that tackle, it's okay. You missed a tackle. it's not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to be able to make the tackle. You're not always going to be able to close the deal, sell the car, put the fire out, save somebody, whatever.
Get the promotion.
Exactly. Yeah. So just move on from it. But if you're going to point blame on the kids on the field playing the game. Because missed tackles, missed throws, missed blocks, those sort of things, that's not coaching. The and coaching is done in the spring, and those fundamentals are taught. I understand that, but it 8 weeks into the season, it is what it is.
And the important thing to remember that is, too, is, you know, you can look at them as mistakes and things that happen because they happen with every team. But
correct.
Remember that these kids are student-athletes. Remember that they are here to learn. Remember that they are here to improve upon things. Don't put those kind of expectations on them that are completely unfair, because I know that happens almost every school, almost every sport, and that's not to call anybody out, because I'm not calling anybody out. It happens every single place you go, and that's the important thing to remember is, great, now there's your teachable moment. There's your something, hey, you know, maybe the angle wasn't great. Maybe you got too quick to the ball, you over-pursued. Right. So teachable moments.
But in the end, who cares? Because none of these kids are going to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
None of these kids are going to go and play in Division I high school or Division I college and get a scholarship for it. So, yes, you play hard on the football field, but what is it in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, well, you're talking.
It's just a sport, man. It's just a sport.
You're talking about the vast majority, obviously, of players, that's everywhere. I mean, some will. I mean, you look at Baron May with Philly.
Absolutely.
He is going to Division I.
Correct.
But you look at the sample size. That's one player out of
how many? Oh my gosh! Exactly.
The whole point
is be a parent.
Yes.
Right? Be a parent and a fan. Don't put those expectations on and don't get crazy.
And I tell you what, I will eventually down the road know exactly what you're talking about, but me is not being a parent at the moment. I don't know. So
I promise you, it is not an easy thing to do.
No.
I have made my share of mistakes of getting on both of my kids, whether it was them playing college softball, high school softball, or high school soccer now. It's not easy, but you have to learn to take a step back and you be that supportive parent, and you cheer on the team and you cheer on the girls, but you don't be negative, and you surely don't coach from the stands, because it helps nothing. All it does is distract.
We apologize for your Monday counseling session. Yes. Now we'll move on.
I'll charge $19.95 for this podcast. make those checks payable to WTUZ Radio. No, I'm kidding. All right. So moving on, Ridgewood, they took down Tuskegee Valley 48-7. Ridgewood outgained the Trojans 459-250. Gabe Tingle doing what Gabe Tingle does. 10-17, 229, 3 touchdowns, 53 yards on the ground. Colton Smith, 3 catches, 126 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was Travis McClellan's Hats Off Award winner.
His first ever Hats Off.
Yes. And Tristan Tesh, listen to this stat line. Okay, you ready? Again, we say about talking about parking cars, selling popcorn, you know, maybe taking tickets.
That's just you who says that.
Well, 2 for 4, 19 yards. 1 carry, 8 yards. 3 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it is a little bit of everything. He was a punter, too, I think.
On defense, I'm sure.
Yes. Tuskegee Valley, they host Indian Valley. Ridgewood, number one team in Division 5, Region 19. They are the other team that has clinched. They are at Claymont. Ridgewood is a very, very good football team. And I would actually like to see New Philadelphia and Ridgewood play this year in some type of exhibition for something, so that it meant something, because I think that would be a really good football game.
It probably would be. I don't know. It'd be hard to tell because, you know, the divisional rankings.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
It'd be fun.
I think it would be very interesting. Yeah, it's two division difference.
Well,
but
it's like that old question of like, would the
Boise State beat Oklahoma?
Well, I was thinking, would the Clemson Tigers, the Alabama Crimson Tide, or the Ohio State Buckeyes beat the Miami Dolphins this year? You know, it's like that.
Or you could look at the Boise State beating Oklahoma in the freaking Citrus Bowl or whatever that was.
Fiesta
Bowl.
Fiesta Bowl. Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, Statue of Liberty play. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They hung with them a whole game and beat them at the end.
That's,
you just don't know.
You know, it's still a tangent, but that has to go down as one of the. I laugh so hard at that being your play. It's like you were going up against a national powerhouse in your first real test in I don't know how long Boise State had been there, and your idea on how to beat them was a good old-fashioned Statue of Liberty play, and it worked to perfection. That's perfection. Just crazy. Well, it's
awesome.
It's like,
and then the kid proposed to his girlfriend.
It's like
in the end zone.
Yeah, it's like a Philly special.
Yeah,
and then for the Eagles.
Yeah,
that's your.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
All the time that's spent on figuring out what you want to do every week and making sure you're executing these plays to perfection and making sure that everything that you do in those standards is right up to par, and then that's your play that you go with. It's great.
We are way long because I went way ranting. West Holmes took care of West Branch 56-34. Congratulations to the Fighting Gardeners. Outgained the Warriors 563-297. Noah Clark, 209 yards and two touchdowns through the air, 124 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. Gavin Freeman, 184 yards and three touchdowns receiving. Tucker Kaufman, seven catches, 131 yards, a touchdown. He was my Hats Off Award winner. He had two picks on D as well. West Holmes hosts Ashland this week. I know you have some volleyball and soccer stuff. I know Dover girls soccer tonight. They play at Minerva against...
Oh, at Minerva against Beaver.
Yeah, Beaver Local.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, and the boys, the undefeated Dover boys soccer team will be playing against St. Clairsville on Wednesday at 6 o'clock from Harrison Central.
They won Saturday.
They did, and Dover's the number one seed, and New Philly boys, who are the number two seed, are playing the same time Wednesday at 6. They will be against Morgan at West Muskingum. Those are both in the district semifinals, and it's setting up for a possible district finals between Dover-Philly.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
Again. Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep. Did you get any volleyball stuff or not?
I have to go back and look. I did not, but I do know that it's the I'm struggling. What round are they in right now?
I believe they're in a district.
Yes, yes. So
I think they're in a district somewhere.
Yeah, I will likely be putting up a Facebook post, Twitter post, and everything. Okay. Stuff that you need to know from that.
Awesome.
We ran in here, and I did not
get
that.
I know. And me too. Me too. Yeah. That's my fault too. All right, guys, let's move on from high school. The World Series is set. The Washington Nationals swept St. Louis 4-0, and the Houston Astros spanked the Yankees. Love it. 4-2. Game one, Tuesday night, 8:08. The Angels and the Astros. What do you think?
Well, I'll get to the Angels and the Astros.
The Nationals and the Astros. Sorry.
Before I get to that, I do want to just say one thing really quick with the Yankees. I know a couple of Yankees fans, and I always laugh this time of the year. Because, you know, this is actually the first decade that the Yankees have not made the World Series since 1930, I think. And that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But what I say about the Yankees year in and year out, hugely impressive team. You know, you've got the home run hitters. You've got all these imposing players out there. But guess what? When it comes playoff time, and you're running into the best pitching that the Major League Baseball has to offer, and you don't have players who know how to manufacture runs rather than just hit the ball a country mile, this is what happens year in and year out. You get this far, you hit the teams that are better with pitching and better at playing small ball and all the intricacies of the game. This will continue to happen until you start doing things like that. Why do you think the Indians, they didn't win the World Series, but when they made it there, they made it that far. They didn't have anybody on that team who was popping off home runs all the time. They were playing small ball. They were doing all the little things they had to, and they had fantastic starting pitching. That's your formula.
So Yankees fans, we say,
I'm looking at you, Brady, if you watch this. It's hilarious. At the Nationals and the Astros, I think this is hands down Houston's World Series to lose. I think they have the clear advantage. Washington has some fantastic starting pitching as well. No one can touch Houston's starting pitching. I think the Astros are a more complete team, but I was shocked that the Nationals even made it this far, so I could be wrong with that. What?
Your MVP.
Of the league?
No.
Oh, of the World Series? You want a dark horse for it?
Yeah, go for it.
Gerrit Cole.
That hurts me because I'm a Pirates fan.
I know.
So that hurts me.
You're welcome. But honestly, my dark horse pick for MVP would be Gerrit Cole. The one that I would probably easily be like, okay, yeah, would potentially actually be for the Nationals. And just because he's been there so long and hasn't really had a chance to shine in those years, Ryan Zimmerman.
Okay.
So I want to see him.
I want to see him
come out and ball out and actually get that because he deserves it after all the years. That
I think if the Nationals win, I could go with a Steven Strasburg.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. If the Astros win, I could go with a Jose Altuve.
Yeah, that's my other obvious. Put it that way. My dark horse pick for Houston would be Gerrit Cole, and the one that I think is the easy right now front runner, Altuve because he just does so much for that team.
World Series again tomorrow night at 8:08. NASCAR news. They cut down from the round of 12 to the round of 8 yesterday at Kansas. Denny Hamlin wins over Chase Elliott. Elliott had to finish in the second or third spot to be able to advance. Brad Keselowski was way back in the field, and Chase Elliott ends up coming up and doing that. He advances to the round of 8 by like 3 points. Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, and William Byron finish out the top 5 in the last race again for the round of 12. Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott will advance to the round of 8. They run next Sunday at 3 o'clock, NBCSN at Martinsville. 4 races left, 3 in the next round till they cut down to 4 and go to Homestead where winner takes all.
Is it, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but is it kind of, a lot of people are thinking it's Denny Hamlin's to lose at this point. It's been a good year.
Man,
it's been a very good year, right?
I mean, yeah, that was his 5th win yesterday. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Denny Hamlin win a title. I think he's very deserving. Obviously, I'm a Kyle Larson fan, so I'm pulling for Young Money to win it. I don't know that he has the team around him that he can win. He dominated the first stage of that race yesterday, got a caution, had a bad pit stop, and he was pretty much done after that.
I tell you what, good luck to both of them for your rooting, but as long as it's not that stupid yellow 18 winning, I really don't care.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Listen, I'm not a Kyle Busch fan by any means, but I respect the guy because he can drive the heck out of anything. if I'm... The three I'm rooting for are the young guns, which would be Kyle Larson, which is my boy, Ryan Blaney, he's the Ohio boy. Ryan Blaney, and Chase Elliott. Mm-hmm. I think Chase Elliott has the potential to be the next Dale Earnhardt Jr., Dale Earnhardt Sr. type driver. Well, I think
It helps with the pedigree that both of those guys have.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Yep. So that is NASCAR next week at Martinsville. I know a lot of people going down. I wish I was going down, but some of us have to work. I was trying to get my wife to agree to go to Trisha Yearwood on Sunday up in Cleveland. But
that was your idea? I figured her idea.
Well, I mean, I was trying to get her to do that, too. She's not going to go with me to Martinsville again.
Again?
So, yeah. We had a... The Martinsville trip we had was a mess because it was rainy and she's not going to go with me to Martinsville again. NFL, the Browns and Steelers had bye weeks. The Bengals dropped to 0-7 with a 27-17 loss to who I thought was the worst team in the NFL besides Miami. Now I would put the Bengals down there with them.
You thought Jacksonville?
Yeah, I don't think Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's terrible.
Washington? Miami?
Miami, and I put Cincinnati there now.
Yeah,
because they're terrible.
I tell you what, who's really bad? Who doesn't get the credit? They're really bad this year. Atlanta.
Yeah,
Atlanta's real bad this year.
I got Matt Ryan as a quarterback in my fantasy team. Yeah, I got ripped.
Yeah,
I got ripped. And then of course on Friday night, number 3 now, Ohio State Buckeyes beat Northwestern 52-3. Not much we can say about that.
It's all about that second quarter, and I don't understand. I think it was 24-0 they outscored them this time, and it's like that week in and week out. And it's so weird because when we were in here on Friday night, Friday night for a college football game, which...
Go to our Facebook page, you'll see all about it.
Yeah, but we had the game on as we're doing leading up into games. Well, actually, we were already into games, obviously, because they kicked off at 8:30. And that first quarter didn't go great for Ohio State by any means, and I'm like... maybe this is more of a trap game than I thought. Went back, started doing some work. We went on air a few times doing everything. I look up again. It's like 31-3 or something. I'm like, what in the world happened the second quarter?
Yeah, this team is really, really good. If you don't think they're really, really good, that's fine. The Big Ten now has 6 top 25 teams, which leads every conference. Ha-ha to you, SEC.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that Wisconsin dropped Illinois, though?
I mean, that kind of ruins Joe's momentum going down to the Ohio State game Saturday.
But the thing is, with former Michigan quarterback Brandon Peters, who did not win that starting job.
Yeah. 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 And the other
maybe
thing,
not a great choice by the Wolverines.
No. But you know what? And then watching Michigan the other night against Penn State, I mean, they battled toward at the end, but Michigan's bad, dude. They're really bad.
I don't think they're bad at all. I was actually less impressed with Penn State. Michigan coming out, I actually picked Michigan to win that game. And some people thought I was crazy, but it was a lot closer than I think a lot of people thought it would be. I'm more sold on Michigan than I am Penn State. I don't think Penn State's got it in the tank this year. I think they are a very sound, good team, and I think James Franklin's done very good things with that team. But this is no team that's pushed Ohio State to the limits the past few years.
One of the most intimidating places to play in a whiteout.
Oh yeah, Beaver Stadium. When I was there, when they had a whiteout, that was actually the blocked field goal game where Ohio State ended up. They played trestle ball and played not to lose, but. Yeah. Oh, that place is loud. Oh, that place is scary. But there's a good reason it's called the Erector Set.
Yeah, that's what exactly. It looks like. Absolutely. All right, guys, we're going to sign off and get out of here. We've been on here for over an hour now, I think. So guess what? It's we always say we're going to fast and move along. I got on a rant. I apologize if I offended anybody. It is what it is.
Chris Kale, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So, of course, thank you to DAC Vitamins and Minerals, Hartzler's Quality Housing, our sponsors of this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast. Thank you to Nick McWilliams. I am Chris Kale. Wednesday night, 6 to 7, the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Extra Point. The Indian Valley Braves will be here. Head coach Matt Lancaster. Also, we would be remiss to say that we're not thinking about Nikki, Rhea, and their family, or Rhea and their family. We always thinking about the Rhea family and what Nikki's going through right now. And I know that she's still fighting her fight, at least the last that I had heard. And we're thinking about her and Coach Rhea and their families and their friends. We talked in length about it Friday night. So I'm sure we'll talk about it on Wednesday as well. So we're Rhea strong here. And it is what it is. And hopefully comfort and pain-free and all that good stuff goes to her and her family. But anyway, the Indian Valley Braves on Wednesday night, 6 to 7. And Friday night, 5 to 11, right here on the Big Z Sports Show. We'll see you next time.
You found it. Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.